Spoiler alert, Justin. Spoiler alert for The Last of Us, Season 2, Episode 4, Day 1.
Day 1 of Seattle.
Of Seattle.
What are they going to call it next season? Are they going to call it Day 1, Part 2?
Part 2? I have no idea. No idea. I have so many, can I say this too? I have so many, as I'm watching this show, I have so many like stupid little nitpicks that don't matter ultimately, but like in watching it, I'm just like, this makes me mad. Like, I don't like, and it's petty things. I'm like, I don't like the titles they used in this episode.
Future days, man. Episode 1, future days.
No. Yes, the titles of the episodes, but I'm also like, I don't like the actual font that they picked. I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't really know. Don't love that.
Before we get into the episode, can I tell you something really funny that happened? So,
also, spoilers for the game, by the way.
Go ahead. Spoilers for everything. We're spoiling my life.
Yes.
So my wife was watching episode 3 later because I watched it without, so we could do a recording of this. So yeah. She's watching it home alone with the dog, and then the scars come out, and when they start whistling, he got like upset.
Agitated.
He did not like it. And then when the danger whistle came, he went and left to go in the room.
Oh,
so
weird.
Now whenever he's like freaking out right now, I'll be like to let him know it's okay.
Oh, that's kind of cute. Does it work?
No.
Oh, well. Well, maybe he'll learn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to associate positivity with that whistle. Yeah, so. Yeah. He is but a seraphite. You know what I mean?
Sure. And
he's
scarred. His bow. He's a little troubled. Huh? But did you like the episode? What'd you think?
There's some highs and some weird things to me. Like, let's talk about the highs first. The Jeffrey Please. Wright stuff I thought was good. I liked him a lot in this episode.
Jeffrey Wright is a class fucking act. I mean, he's in the original game, but he's got like 4 lines. I was telling Elena about it. I was like, he's in it. She's like, I don't even remember who this character was. And I was like, I know, but he's good. And so he brings a lot to the character, but it's like, he's not in it that much. And so like having him be in there, I'll say this, the episode opened with Josh Peck.
I know. I was like, was that Drake Megan. Or Josh? Is that Josh?
That is Josh.
I was like, to Claire, I'm like, oh my God, it's Josh. Well, I was like, it's Drake and or Josh. And she was like, no, it's, oh my God, it is.
It is. Because he's like an actor now. I mean, like he's always been an actor, but he's like in Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, he's just doing shit.
He's doing shit now.
Yes.
He didn't make it out of that though.
He did not.
Spoilers. He's gone.
I liked the cold open. That was something I liked.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. And like what they're really doing that, I don't know about you. Like, I feel like I should be better about this. I read the notes in the video game, but I don't like read the notes in the video game.
So what my problem with this show, and now that we're in this episode specifically, I'm like, okay, this is kind of where I thought this was going, is that like what I really like about Ellie in her 3 days is she kind of like wanders into Seattle and it's just like, what the fuck is going on here? You know what I mean? And like, yes, there's like, then you can tell, like you can sort of like figure out what happened, but it's not like explicitly told to you. And there's a lot of just like, you feel like you wandered into this situation that you have no knowledge of. And you're kind of like, I just want to get in and get out. You know, like I have no interest in any of this. And, the show makes it a lot more explicit, which I understand that's a choice and I can respect that choice. But I think it makes for just a weaker, it's just like by explaining everything in the world, it makes it feel a lot less like mysterious. You know what I mean?
I do think part of it has to do with just the conventions of like telling a story through TV versus not.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, a quick example here, you and me both alike sat there. And when Dina threw up, not once, but twice, and then goes into the pharmacy and then looks at something interesting, we knew she's like, fucking pregnant.
I gotta pee.
Yeah. Like, all right. We knew, right? My wife didn't. When she goes to the pharmacy, she goes, oh my God, is she doing drugs? She's doing drugs. What? She's not gonna tell Ellie about the drugs? And then
I was like, no.
The pregnancy thing happened. She's like, oh, that's why she peed. And like,
sort of
to be clear, she's not stupid. Like, I want to be like,
no,
she's
no, no,
she's smarter than me and everything. So like, I think like part of it is because we know the signs and we're doing our second watch of a lot of this stuff. So it becomes a little bit more obvious to us that this stuff is happening. But I think you are correct about, like, sometimes in the video game, the not knowing what's going on is kind of part of the story.
Yeah, because it just feels like she is just a small, she's just a person who's like in the middle of this like massive conflict. And she's like, I have no idea what's happening here. I have some, you know, I know some of it, but it's like largely like, what the fuck? What the fuck was all that? You know what I mean? Like, why did they cut the people's guts out? What was that? You know what I mean? But I mean, Ellie, she gets some answers about it, but like, it feels like she doesn't. It feels like she just kind of like comes in and is like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. You know?
I think though, what they're doing is they are making this conflict between the Scar Seraphites and the WLF more defined in a way that I think is setting both sides up. Cause I think in the game, they pretty much set up the WLF as being like shitty people, right? Like that's clear. Obviously the Scars are set up to be shitty people as well. But I think what they're doing both with the Jeffrey Wright thing and the little clip we got from episode three is it's making what, you know, it's not necessarily, I think it's pretty obvious. Like they're, it's complicated with both sides. They're really like putting that conflict as a more center focus of the story than it being like you walking into it.
Because by the time you get to Abby, that is the central conflict. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like that is totally what it's about.
Yep.
And that's why I think those two bits feel so different.
Yeah.
Because Ellie is just like, I don't know. We just got to go. We just got to leave.
Yeah.
And whereas Abby is like, you know exactly why.
Yep.
I'll say this. I mean, this is just me. Like as I've gotten older, I just think it's such bullshit. The whole like, we don't know why we're fighting. You know, who started it? We don't know. It's like, well, you do. So it's 11 years old. This is not a conflict that's like that long, you know what I mean? Like my understanding of conflict is that like, no, we do know who starts stuff. We do. And so to pretend like we don't, I always find to be just like disingenuous, you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't necessarily know if things are that clear, like that clear with like conflicts and stuff like that, because like obviously with something like The Last of Us, it's like this fictional thing like in a game. But I think with a lot of conflicts, World War One, for example, right?
Yeah.
It's not as simple as saying like you guys started it, because a lot of the stuff that started it happened before Archduke Franz Ferdinand was assassinated. It was political tensions that were not just built up in the time leading up to the World War One. It was stuff leading centuries before about like geopolitical conflicts that kind of led to this kind of stuff that you could always go back and point to something that happened before it to a certain degree.
But that's my point though, of saying like, you know, we understand where these things come from, you know what I mean? And so like, I always just find I would say like a relatively common thing of just like, well, we can't figure out who started this. And it's like, well, we always can, you know, and you know, not exactly, most conflicts are not caused by one singular event, which is your point. And I agree, but we always can find out where the seeds to those events started. You know what I mean? And that's the thing that I find to be like irritating with this, like with him being like, well, we killed you and you killed but like, who knows, who cares, doesn't matter. It's like,
but I think part of the thing is it doesn't matter, because at this point his number one goal is to stop the attacks happening on his people. Like kind of like, we could sit here and talk about semantics all the time. At the end of the day, your people are going to kill my people, and I'm going to stop my people from killing you by hurting you and torturing you. So like, I think that goes to more show that like, obviously that's not like the right way to deal with conflict. I think that shows kind of his character arc, because at the end of the day, like what he did at the beginning and him like being like, the fucking Fedra sucks. They're terrible fuckers. They're terrible people. They do terrible things. They're calling them voters. Like, fuck that. You know, like he like sets this up, but then by the end of it, it's like,
there was that good line where he tells the kid, he's like, now you choose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or whatever it was. And then the kid is with him.
Yeah.
And then, but then also it's like, he has chosen a different evil.
Right.
And cause he's there. He's been like, fuck him. It doesn't matter. And
at a certain point, that kind of shows how much his morals have changed from that beginning. He's changed as a person over these years and stuff like that. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Like, that is the important thing from the historian perspective in that conflict thing. He's torturing a fucking guy to get information about him, like, in the most gruesome way.
Can I say, I laughed out loud. I'm not trying to be shitty, but, like, I found the dialogue, the expository dialogue in this show, season two specifically, to be like really bad, where he like, he goes like, where are the scars going to attack next? And it's like, why? Like, it's just so silly. The way it's phrased, I don't know, is silly. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do. Think
and I understand that they said that so that he can correct him. He said, we're seraphites. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I do like the, I like that the scar seraphite, whatever we're going to call him. I liked that creepy aspect of it. And like from the first part with the hand to him putting the hand out immediately to afterwards, like,
torture me. Yes,
like that kind of thing. And like, it kind of just shows, and I love how it shows that, like, just that belief that they have in their way of life and their thought. Yeah. When he says that whole thing, I don't know if it was in the game or not, the whole thing, like, we've had many wolves turn to us, but never one of us turning to you.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love that shit. Right. Because I mean, again, you're looking at this like from that perspective of like, who is right, who is wrong. And I don't think it's as simple as saying that just the wolves are bad and the scars are bad. I mean, the game, by the end of it, I think the game kind of creates the scars as being like the inhuman enemies.
Well, they humanize individual scars, obviously with Levin Yara, but that's it.
Exactly.
And obviously, like, it's just the scope of the story of like, well, we're only hearing the wolf side of it. You know what I mean? And obviously, I think the game demonizes the wolves. They do not come out of that game portrayed as like, and they were great. They were totally good.
I do say, like, what they do is they make the individuals of the wolves, like Abby's crew, for the most part, not everyone in it, but they make some of them more humanized in a way that kind of shows you that you can be part of a bigger thing. And it's like, how do you go against that? I mean, Abby goes against it and basically has all of the wolves after her because of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, to make that choice to stand up is a hard choice, which, again, I really do like the context that they're adding to this at this point of it. But it does, I think, lessen some of the stuff that happens with Ellie and Dina in this part.
Yes. I will also say this. I didn't like this episode, but for me, it is because it is we have just gotten to the point where it's like the culmination of all of the things I have not liked just means that continuing forward, I just don't like it. Mm. I don't think Bella Ramsey's performance as Ellie is good. I don't think Ellie is written well in the show, but I also think Bella Ramsey's performance is bad. I thought that I liked how Ellie got bit, because like, how do you get rid of the spore? You know, the spore thing isn't here. So how do you have that moment where she gets infected in front of Dina and she gets bit? I thought that was interesting. But then what did you think of Elena's not watching the show with me, because I watch it at night when she goes to bed on Sundays. I showed her this scene because I was like, I cannot fathom why this was done like this. When you have the scene where they get into the theater and Ellie's like, I'm immune. And when Ellie's like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to sleep. You are going to watch me. And then I'm going to wake up and then you're going to see that I'm not infected. And I'm like, what? Like, why? Like, you're going to go to sleep? What are you talking? Like, why? And she just goes over, falls asleep, wakes up. It's been like an hour or 2 hours, because it's still nighttime when this all happens, right? Dina has her flashlight pointed at Ellie, and it's filmed like a comedy scene. She's got her flashlight. She turns her flashlight off, puts it down. Same shot. Picks up a lamp. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That got an audible laugh from Clarence.
Yes, but it's like, it's not supposed to be fun. It's like, what is happening here? But like, she gives this like convoluted plan, which is like, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to go to sleep. And me watching this, I'm like, why? We saw her get bit in the first episode. And obviously she like fucks it up with a knife. But why doesn't she like, hey, look at this. This is a bite. And you can tell it's kind of in the bite mouth shape. I fucked it up with a knife so no one would know. Look at my arm. Obviously I burned it on top and I have a tattoo over this. I have a bite here. I am immune. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like they set up ways for her to try and like get out of this situation, like before, and then they do it in this really weird, awkward way. And then Dina tells her she's pregnant. And I love the reaction she has in the show, in the game. Like she's so shitty about it, where she's like, what the fuck are we supposed to do? Like, what do you mean? And then Dina's like, well, I just didn't want to be a burden. And Ellie says, I love this. This is so like real and human, where she's so shitty. And she's like, well, you're a burden now, aren't you? And it's like, oh my gosh, that's the wrong thing to say. But it, to me, it is such a humanizing moment, because someone like Ellie, we have seen the best of humanity in someone like her. But then also in moments like this, we see the worst of us in her, right? And I find her to be just too sanitized in the show to be, she's just like this, like happy-go-lucky, just walking around like, just like very gee whiz. And weird, because in the show, she obviously is like, we should have sex right now. You know, which is fine, whatever, I don't care, but like, it's weird, it's just weird.
I think this, that scene in the theater had an opportunity to be really good. I think that transition of her going to sleep, blackout, cutting to the thing in her, in the flashlight in her face, then the lantern thing. The things that I didn't like was the cutting to her falling asleep and then the lantern transition. The thing of her sitting there with the light on her as she fell asleep. That, I like that shot.
It was fine.
I like that. But then like the lantern thing, again, audible laugh. I think the confrontation, I like that confrontation about how the second she got bit, you could see Dina was like, fuck,
I'm gonna kill her.
Like, I liked all that stuff. I think though, like part of the thing that, what you were saying with the way that Ellie could have done it, I think she should have said that kind of stuff. That would have been good. But at the same time, that wouldn't have solved the problem, right? That seeing is believing in this case. Dina made up her mind. She was gone. She was dead. She was going to shoot her, right? That was what you do when people get bit. There's nothing she could have said. Because if you say, look, look, this is just a cut. No, I cut it with a knife. Doesn't that sound a little guilty? You know what I mean? Doesn't that sound a little weird? Like, it was like, a chemical burn. I burned it. It was a bite. Don't you see it? The little teeth? Like, I bit it. Like, I think
I thought that they were setting up. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, all that stuff in that moment, like, it just doesn't look good. The only thing to do is see to believe. Because that was what happened in season one with Tess and Joel, right?
Yeah, where she's like, I got bit. This is an hour. And she's like, this is 3 days or whatever it is. Like, she's not
like,
going to turn.
Kind of that thing like that. Like, they had that kind of moment of, like, the only way for you to believe me is for me to go to, like, sleep and look, I'm not affected by this. I think the cut was weird. The lantern was weird. Like,
to me, I just don't understand the going to sleep thing.
It could have just been, I'm going to sit here.
Yes, and you're going to sit there. And the second you think I'm turning, you shoot me.
Yeah.
You know, like it just, it's so weird. She's like, to me, I was telling Elena, I was like, this feels like I keep saying this about this show. It feels like an I Think You Should Leave sketch where action movie guy is really tired and he's coming up with any excuse he can to take a nap. You know what I mean? I'm going to go over there. I'm going to take a nap and you're going to watch me. You're like, I don't know.
I mean, I could see in the writing room, there could have been a lot of other ways to go about it. Like, let's pretend she goes into the theater and they're like exhausted, but like Dina's being weird and Ellie's like, you're acting weird, and she's like, you got bit, and then she's like, no, I'm fine, trust me, I'm immune, or what. Like, there's ways to do it where it would be like she's sleeping, they're sleeping, and then when the gun comes out is when she wakes up and the light comes out.
Yeah.
And it's like she didn't believe her those words or whatever, like
that's
that.
Interesting.
You know, like there could have been ways to like kind of build that tension and stuff like that. But in the game, I like the mask part, because in the game they like go and they like she breaks the mask and like has that whole moment.
Yes,
but then it's just kind of like, okay.
Well, what I think is interesting about the way the game is done is, if you remember, Ellie tries to tell Dina that she's immune before. Mm. They have that scene in the weed hut, whatever, where they're sort of like comparing scars, and Ellie's like, I have a chemical burn on my arm underneath my tattoo, and I burned myself trying to cover up a clicker bite. And Dina's like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, no, you did not. Shut the fuck up. And then they move on, and then they get interrupted, whatever. But then they have a scene, the gas mask breaks, Dina's gonna take hers off, and Ellie's like, don't. And Ellie takes hers off, whatever, and they get to the thing. And then Dina doesn't even need to really doubt it, because she's like, holy shit, you weren't lying. Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, the reason why I don't like this episode that much is, like I said, it's like sort of like the groundwork has been laid for things that I think are going to matter later. And they have not done a better job at conveying these things. And I'm like, well, the reason that scene was important, or the reason why them having that conversation was important, was so that like there doesn't need to be this confrontation, and it doesn't need to happen this, like, you know, you could have done it in a way that isn't like super clunky, I guess, but like that laid the groundwork of like, Dean is going to believe her when she sees this happen. And then you don't have to have this weird, like, I'm going to go to sleep. You're going to watch me 6 hours later, whatever, you know?
Yeah, but, like, I also do like how they kind of move the relationship of the two of them back a little bit. Like,
yeah, it works a little bit more as opposed to just, like, boom, now you're
now they're already in this relationship and in love and stuff like that. Because yeah. I felt like even the aha moment felt like it was her, like, that felt different in the show than it did in the game because of, like, how, like, Dina was like, I do love you kind of thing. Like, I felt like yeah. her emotion to it. And did she cry in the video game? I don't remember that. She was just like...
She doesn't. Can I say this, though? I should have laid into this as well, because I want to talk about the aha thing in a second. Dina goes from looking at her, and she's, like, tearing up a little bit, but just kind of, like, blinking away a tear. And then Ellie finishes it. So it's shot like this. Ellie's finishing wrapping up the song. We see Dina, and she's kind of blinking away a tear. We cut to Ellie, and she finishes, and she kind of, like, so there you go. That's my song. And then we cut back to Dina 3 seconds later, and she has fucking lost it. And, like, she's, like, her, you know, she's, like, all puffy and red, and it's just, like, whoa. It's, you know, small continuity stuff. Who cares? But, like, to me, it's silly. Whatever.
Other than that, like, moment, I think... Yeah. This episode did a lot of interesting things. I really like the subway scene. I really love the TV studio scene. I felt like that, like, had, there was so much, like, good tension in those kind of scenes in a way that I'm like, what the fuck is going to happen? How are they going to get out of this? I think in the video game, when the wolves are chasing them, they, like, go into a room and, like, put a soda machine in front of them. Sure. In the door or something like that to, like, stop that. But this felt like truly like them, like, just escaping by the skin of their teeth, and, like, they had to go around, they had to do that kind of stuff. I thought the train sequence was better than the video game. I felt like this, like, kind of, like, crazy tension in that thing and the action and stuff like that. Like, it, like, took gameplay out of it in a way that I think made the moment a little bit more streamlined. Because in the game, don't you have a part after that where you go deeper into the subway station before you escape, and then you have, like, a fight with the
Shamblers?
Dude, the Shamblers, right? Isn't that moment?
I remember.
In that moment, I think that's what was happening.
I think it is longer.
Part of it, I try to look up, like, things that happen, like, differently in the thing to the best of my ability, but it's kind of hard because I haven't really played the game since it's been COVID. And it just goes on a little bit longer. But I feel like that tension of that whole gate part and then, like, pushing through the gate, both of the gates, I thought that stuff was pretty good. And I really did feel more, like, I felt scared of the wolves in a way that I never really felt, like, the scared of them in the video game.
Because you're just like, I'm going to outsmart all of you guys. Yeah. Like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, you're like a fucking killing god in that game and stuff like that. And then I know what you're saying about Ellie being pissed at Dina for being pregnant in the game or calling her a burden.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen in this one is what's going to start changing Ellie is her killing all of the other wolf people. And I think that's not wolf people, all of Abby's crew. Yeah. And I think those moments are going to be more fucked up and be bigger moments to fucking her up in this than they were in the game, right? Like,
because we're more than halfway through the season. And to me, what makes the game interesting is that you have Ellie, who is a husk of a person, who is like, I am here to take out how I feel on these people.
Yeah.
And it shows she's just running around like, this is fun.
I think it's going to change for her when she kills the pregnant one. What's her name?
Mel.
Because in the game, she's upset by it, obviously, because she's pregnant. But I think the way they're setting this up, that kind of changes the context of that kill in a way that's going to be more emotionally impactful for her, because it feels like her view of this is a little bit different at this moment in terms of, like, being a father, LOL. But being the dad, like, that was a moment that was kind of like whatever. Like, I thought was a moment as her processing that and seeing the good life that they could have together. And I think that's going to make it more tragic at the beginning of next season when she turns her back on that because she's going to go after Abby.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, to me, we have to see it, right? I don't see them doing this well because I just think that, like, the interesting part is that I think that they're too nice to her. She's too nice. And I think that they are afraid of making her despicable. And because that's what the game is, right? It's like she acts in a way that is despicable and monstrous. And you kind of are like, what the like, oh fuck. Like this is bad. Things are, Ellie, you're not doing good things here. You know what I mean? Like it's bad. And that's what I think is interesting about the game. And it's just not here. And so like, you know, maybe in three episodes, it's going to turn into that. But I feel like it's a little too late for me at this point. I don't know. Maybe it'll be great, but I just don't have the faith in that. And like, you know, she doesn't need to like, she doesn't need to yell at Herbie for being pregnant for me to feel that she's monstrous. You know what I mean? But I like that moment because it is just one of those things where like, damn, you said the exact wrong thing. You said the exact wrong thing in this moment. And that to me is what's so human about her, that I've done that. I'm sure you've done that, right? Like, of course I've had that. I've been Dina and I've been Ellie in that, in, you know, on different moments in my life. And like, I know how both of those people feel, and it sucks. And it's the show to me is missing the human element of what makes this story so compelling.
I don't know though, if I was Dina, who I think is more developed in this show.
Yeah.
Why would she be with Ellie in the game?
What do you mean?
Like, why would she stay with her? Like, she obviously at the end doesn't, but like, why would she stay with her?
Well, because I think Dina sees what we see, right? About like, there's a good person in here, and I think you are going down the wrong path, you know? Because also, it feels like they are both committed to this idea of like, we are going to go kill these people, and it's going to be kind of fucked up, but it's the thing we got to do. And then I think Ellie goes too far, and Ellie realizes she goes too far, and then it's like, we got to go. When Tommy and Jesse show up, it's like, we gotta be done.
I honestly wonder if either of those two people are showing up.
I think Jesse will show up. I don't think Tommy is.
Which I do miss that.
Because it was interesting in the game, not to be like, well, in the game, but in the game, they're like looking for Tommy. And it's like, and like, there's like a trail and like intrigue.
Are they looking for him, or do they like follow his trail? Like, is that their number one goal? Like, or do they just kind of run into him at the same time?
Their goal is to find him.
Okay.
Because Ellie says that she's going to do it. And Tommy's like, it's a bad idea. You can't. And then he dips in the middle of the night. And then Tommy's wife comes to her and is like,
yeah,
I'm giving you the supplies to go get him back and bring him back.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see what breaks Ellie.
Right. Because to me, it's like the whole, her time in Seattle it's like boiling, right? It's like starts low and then it gets progressively more and more intense and fucked up. And then she's like, I shouldn't have done any of this. Mm-hmm. Or like, that's kind of how it feels. But like, to me, I'm like, well, it hasn't even, the stove's not on, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And like the moments, like when they were like across the table from each other, and she brought Dina brought the cookies for Ellie, in episode three. Like, Ellie is clearly fixated on Abby. She's like the girl with the braid. Like, she's clearly fixated on doing that. Even at the end of this episode, when that explosion happens, she's like refocused. We're going to fucking kill her. They're in there. That's where we're going to go. Right. Like, she like has this thing about it. But yeah, I would agree. I don't really think she is like to the point where I believe she is on this murderous path to get back at her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like she's kind of over it.
And I really wonder if they're going to do this, and they might kill Dina in this season. And
that would be interesting. That would be interesting. That would be something. I'd be like, oh shit, dude, that's different.
That would be interesting. And I think that would be a big change. I think it kind of ruins the end for me a little bit because, 100%. You know, like the whole thing of them not being able to stay together and stuff like that. The stakes of being back home, I think, would change a little bit. I think there's a lot there that would change with that. And I don't think, I honestly, like, trying to put the pieces together, I think that would make sense if they do that, but I don't know if they would, because that is such a major change from the game in a way that is not just like we're omitting these storylines. That is like changing 1,000 different things in the story 100%. And how things like kind of fall down. Because if Abby is the one who kills, because Abby shoots Jesse, right?
Yeah.
If Abby shoots Dina, this girl has killed both of the people that she loves.
Yeah, 100%. And then it's like, they're still coming back.
What life is she leaving to go and kill Abby then? I would be like, yeah, fucking kill her. Like, the second you hear about her, and then it's fucking like, and kill her
now. Yeah. Like, don't go home. Kill her now or die. You know what I mean? Like,
So, like, there's a lot in there that I think is going to be interesting. Someone's going to have to be killed, and it's going to probably be Jesse. I would assume he's going to come back at some point. But, like, we're running out of time, buddy.
But I guess that's my whole thing is, like, they spent way too long in the beginning. They did three full episodes of, like, 2 hours of the game.
Yeah, well, I get why,
because there's a lot of the story set up. But now you have left no time for the actual game, like the actual story.
My strong assumption is that Seattle Day 2 is tomorrow or next week, and Seattle Day 3 is the last episode.
Yeah.
Like,
but can you tell those things with the sort of like
pieces that you have, the arc that you have?
In the time, and I don't think so. I just don't, and I don't think that they have written Ellie to be complicated enough for this to be a impactful narrative.
My guess is that next week is the hospital stuff.
Yeah, that's all Seattle Day too.
That's pretty obvious. And then the day three is going to be the season finale. It's going to start off with her killing Owen and Mel. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it happens at the end of the day. I guess there's like, you know, it's just gameplay stuff.
I think
that
it's going to lead up to that. And then she's going to go back to the thing, and it's going to be like the last 10 minutes is going to be a quick, it's not going to be a stupid boss fight. It's going to be a quick, whatever. Abby gets out of it somehow. And then.
Oh, really? I think it's going to end on you wasted it. I think she's going to kill Jesse. I think there's going to be a cliffhanger. And she's going to be like, we let you live and you fucking wasted it.
I think I think that's hard to end it right there, because the thing to start the next episode, like, I mean, maybe they do that to cut back to the next thing. I don't know. Like,
to me, this is why this doesn't work as a TV show, because now it's like, you have to wait a full year. You know what I mean? On this, like, one cliffhanger thing. And then you come back and now it's all about Abby and whatever. I don't know. I don't know.
There's a lot. I mean, there's options. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yes.
My assumption is it's going to be pretty much the game with a few changes. But where do they end that? Is it going to be you wasted it and then credits or what?
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Can I speak about two things in this episode?
Is it about my dog barking still?
It is not.
Okay.
It is about... The one thing that drives me the fucking up the walls about The Last of Us Part 2 is when they're in downtown Seattle and they see all the pride flags and stuff and they're like, what the fuck are these? Now, they would know what pride flags are. They would know what pride flags are. In the game, they certainly would. And in the show, they certainly would know what pride flags are. And it's like insane to me that this show is so hellbent on like, addressing every single tiny little nitpick that anyone has ever had about The Last of Us 2. And they did not address, like, either just cut that or just have them be like, oh, nice, pride flags, whatever. I cannot fathom that they kept that detail in when it is so mind-bogglingly dumb that they do not know what the pride flags are. Or at least that Ellie doesn't know what it is. You know what I mean?
I forget. What are the timelines? When was the, the
2013 is in the game. 2003 is in the show. I did some research on this because now when did I learn about the pride flag? I don't know. I don't have a specific memory of that. The pride flag has been around since 1979 and has been widely a piece of gay icon, like iconography ever since. And now would the average straight person know that in 2003? I don't know. Maybe not. Would Ellie, someone who is a part of the queer community, and it's not just like, would she know that on her own if it were just her and Joel in the wilderness her whole life? No, of course not. But we know that she has relationships with other women. She is out as a lesbian in Jackson, that she has had relationships with other women in Jackson. Without a doubt in my mind, the pride flag, one of these people would have known that or would have shown that, whatever. And also the big problem I take with this is, if queer culture has ended, with the end of the world, which it would not have, because that's just not how culture works. But then, like, The Last of Us hinges one of its inciting incidents with a man using a homophobic slur at two women, right? So, like, 100%, without a doubt in my mind, they should know what the pride flag is. And it drives me insane that they kept that detail in, where they're like, what are these in the show? I just cannot fucking believe that they did that.
I mean,
it's a nitpick, whatever, but it just, like, it drives me nuts that they are like, that they would keep that. The second thing is, can I talk about that aha, her playing the guitar?
Sure.
Now, this is a thing where, like, I can't put the genie back in the bottle, because I know how to play the guitar. I know instantly if someone knows how to play the guitar or not with an actor. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I mean by this?
She does. I thought she did know.
Okay. So, it's one of those things that you just have to ignore, because it's just a suspension of disbelief about, like, okay, when you have an actor, sometimes they know how to play the guitar, sometimes they don't. It's movie making magic, right? About, like, here's a scene where a guy plays a piano really good, and you just cut to the hands of a really skilled pianist, and then you cut back to him in the wide shot. He's like, right? And you just, like, hide the fact that he can't play that well. She can play the guitar. She's playing the right chords for that. And here's the other part, is I know how to play that song at the guitar. So she's playing the right chords in the chorus of that song, and then she just makes up whatever the fuck she wants to in the verse. And looking at her hands is, like, again, I can't put the genie back in the bottle with this, where, like, she is not playing that song like that. And it's insane to me that, like, I have no idea if I'm seeing this in a way that is, like, not normal. But, like, if I were making this episode, I would have hidden the fact a little bit better that she is not playing this song like this. Do you know what I mean?
I defer to you 100% on this, but, like, are you saying, like, when you say she's not playing the song, like, is it because the chords she's playing aren't syncing up with the sound?
No, because that's fine. Whatever. Okay. Who cares? It's that. So, like, she's playing this finger picked song. And so her left hand, the cording hand, looks great. It looks fine. Again, in the chord, this doesn't matter. This doesn't matter.
If you sell it,
it works, right? She sells it in the chorus, and then she's just completely wrong in the verse. She's just, like, playing the wrong chords and stuff in the verse, and not even in a way that's like, oh, like, you did a different thing here, but just, like, I'm listening to her singing and her playing the guitar, and, like, she's not changing the chord in the song, but I'm watching her hand move. Do you know what I mean? It would be like if I was doing this the whole time. Well, I'm, you know what I mean? Like, it's clear that I'm not playing. Because, like, my hands are just not fully, like, it's, like, very obvious that my hands are not syncing up with it. But then her finger picking hand is, like, so awkwardly sitting on the top of the guitar. And, like, the way she is, like, she does this thing that a lot of beginners do, where she puts all of her fingers underneath the sound hole as a way to stabilize her hand, because you just don't have the muscles of just, like, you know, keeping your arm sort of tight and tense. And she's just, like, only playing a single note with her thumb, like it's a bass guitar, which, again, this doesn't matter at all. However, to me, the way that it's shot is, like, you're seeing these full shots of her and her hands and stuff. And, like, it's driving me insane, because I'm just watching her not play this guitar. And then, and here's the thing, that would be fine. That would be fine if that was it. But at the end of the episode, when Neil Druckmann's like, and just, like, Bella could just play the song, she just played it so beautifully. And I'm like, she didn't, I promise she didn't. It doesn't matter. This is a nitpick. It doesn't matter at all. This is not what criticism is built off of. But for me, it bothered me. And if I were the person who were coming up with the shot list for this, I would have moved Dina's head, like, 6 inches to the left, so that it just covers up the fact that she's not playing this. That she's playing this really weird. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But I noticed it, and it bothers me.
I'm sorry you have to live that life when you know something like that.
It is.
Because I can imagine.
I can never go back.
This is just not an issue. This is not just an issue with The Last of Us, I'm sure.
Every show ever.
Yeah.
And I can instantly, I know. I'm like, yep, you can play. And here's the thing, too, is, like, because I was a guitar teacher as well, I can tell that. So Bella Ramsey can play the guitar. She can absolutely play the guitar. But the way she is playing this particular song that is a finger-picked song, it makes me look at her and I'm like, you are the kind of person, and this isn't wrong, this is fine, but you sit on your bed with an acoustic guitar and you know play some chords and you sing your song, but you are, like, just strumming it, and that's fine, that's a perfectly valid way to play, but you are not someone who is, like, a guitarist. You know what I mean? Like, you just can sit down and, like, you play some chords, whatever, sing some Beatles songs. That's great. But yes, it, every movie, every TV show, I instantly know if this person plays and if they actually, like, where they kind of, like, how good they are. And it drives me nuts. And I wish I could put it, I wish I was not burdened with this curse of knowledge.
Well, I mean, Peter, she hasn't played in a while because her and Joel had a falling out. Oh, she had the guitar on the side.
Okay.
It's really part of the dramatic dynamic storytelling. They're just thinking about every angle of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you I really hope when Pedro Pascal plays Future Days in episode six that he plays it perfectly and you're like, God damn it, that was perfect.
I wonder if he can play. I'll be able to tell.
I'll be able to find out instantly.
I will tell you instantly if he can play. But like, my thing is, like, for filmmaking, if someone can't, you have to hide it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to hide it so that you don't see that they can't, or that it is not so obvious. And you know, you didn't notice. Why would you?
I'm sitting here watching it. I have no clue, but I was also not listening to it. So I don't think watching it versus listening to it's going to help.
Yeah. So there you go. That is our spoiler cast for episode 2. We said we were going to do 20 minutes. We did 41. And I think that's very fun. And it's because I like talking to you, Justin, about The Last of Us. We'll catch you. What's it?
The final thing is, when Jeffrey Wright started talking, Claire goes to me. She says, he does every role like this. Like, just the most intense. Like, can he, like,
he does.
Not?
I like
can
him.
He not? And then I was like, what movie? What do you know him from? She's like, Hunger Games. I'm like, anything else? She's like, Hunger Games.
Who has seen Hunger Games?
He's the game master in the second one, who turns out to be no, he's not game master. He's the, which one is he in? Second or
not
third?
The first one.
No, he's not in the first one. No, he's the tinkerer guy in the Hunger Games.
Is he good in that? I mean, he's a good fucking class act. I love him. I love Jeffrey Wright so much.
Did you see him in this?
Yeah.
He's like in that.
He's Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He is.
How does he do Commissioner Gordon?
You should have pulled your punch. Robert Pattinson's like, I did. All right, y'all. We'll catch you next week with more
20-minute podcasts.
20-minute podcast on The Last of Us and Jeffrey Wright impressions. I really like him. I didn't see it. I wanted to see that where he's an author. He makes like feel good books about black people in America for white people. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Jeffrey Wright does?
Yes. It's him and what's the other guy who I really like? Sterling K. Brown. They have a movie called American Author or something like that. It's recent. I wanted to see it. The trailer looked really good.
He plays Beatty, of course. You know, Beatty.
Of course. Of course, Beatty. All right, we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye. That was me trying to do Jeffrey Wright, but yeah.
You fools.